such a big part of my healing and my journey as an individual has been releasing attachment to food and realizing that, like, it's just food, you know? Like, what do you, I don't know, like, do you ever have, I mean, how was your day? Like, did you eat half a bag of chips in your car?
Do you know what I had for lunch? For lunch, I heated up Trader Joe's spinach sriracha dip and ate the entire thing.
I honestly, I don't get upset when people comment on my accent. Sometimes people say I have a New York accent, though, which I think is pretty funny.
Honestly, I feel like you're so much farther than a New York accent. Like, especially when I first met you, never thought, like, oh, New York accent. But then again, I do live here, so...
Yeah, and also, too, I actually had a physical therapist tell me once that she was surprised that I was from New York because I spoke so eloquently.
Oh, God. That gets into it, too. Like, I went on a family trip to Tennessee, and they're like, oh, my God, like, where are you guys from? Like, the waitress is there. And we're like, oh, why don't you guess? And they're like, I don't know, Jersey. And we're like, no, we're from New York. And they're like, oh, my God, you're so nice. It's like, okay.
I'm like, thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm just gonna eat my food. Thank you.
Oh my God. Yeah, you know what? You know who gets comments like that the most? Like, you are, oh, I would have never guessed you'd be so nice. Or, oh, I would have never guessed you'd be so smart, is women.
Oh, yes.
Like,
yes. That's a whole thing with women, and that's a whole thing, like, especially me being in an office, transitioning from, like, general, like, college jobs where I was a cashier and I was a delivery driver and different stuff like that to now an office environment. Like, women, like, you notice, like, dress codes for businesses are always usually about women. You don't see them saying, oh, men shouldn't have low-cut shirts, they shouldn't have this or that. It's very women-centric.
Yes. The last thing I read, by the way, was that I can't go to an interview with my naturally curly hair because nobody will take me seriously. And I think that's just, I mean, that's just also blatantly racist at that point, because what do you do if your hair is naturally curly based off of, like, you're Italian or Spanish or Black? Then your hair is not going to be straight, most likely. So what do you do?
It's basically asking pretty much anyone, a person of color, a POC, that person of color to become less of that person of color and whitewashing them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, not only are we going to mansplain all over this whole industry of business or whatever, now we're also going to whitewash it and make it a white picket fence and put it in somebody's front yard in Nassau County for $200,000 a month or whatever.
Oh. But anyway.
Yeah, societal rants aside, I've been thinking a lot about self-love. And I just saw on a blog post on Curvaceous Imperfections, which is your blog, about loving yourself 100%. How do you think we can love ourselves 100%?
That's a big conversation that I had just in a conversation with some friends. And is it really possible to love yourself 100%? Personally, for me, I'm not there yet. You know, we follow all these people on Instagram and social media, and they're all about looks. And that can be very pressuring to become them and to follow them and idolize them. And you know, everyone is on a different journey in life, whether that be personal or, you know, body image or career or family, whatever it is. And for me, I do think that there is a way to love yourself 100% in your own way.
How so? Like, what do you mean in your own way?
Like, some people, how do I put it? Some people will look themselves in the mirror and point out every imperfection they have. And they're not okay. okay with themselves, or they're, you know, they hate themselves. A lot of people hate themselves.
Yeah.
That's just a general thing. People make jokes about it, memes about it. I hear it all day long.
Yeah, it's so sad. It's like I think we are literally conditioned to hate ourselves so that people can sell us products. Like, I know I keep getting kind of woo on you, but that's seriously how I feel. It's that we are literally conditioned by society that there's something that we need to change.
You ever take a class and they told you about I am statements?
I think I know where you're going. The one thing that I think I know where you're going with this, but I haven't, no.
No. Because, like, I have, and it's just, you just list off a bunch of I am, and a lot of people say, like, I am stupid, you know, I am poor, you know, whatever. And for me, it's like, I am a woman, I am fat, I am loving life. It's a simple thing, and fat is such a big, like, oh my god, it's almost as bad as saying fuck.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh my god, like, that's terrible, oh my god, don't, like, fat has such a negative connotation that I've seen this in like all the, like, different profile Instagram people that I follow will say, like, I'm fat, it doesn't matter, it's just another thing that's part of me, and that's just what it is. I'm exploring the ideas of that plus size is temporary. And that,
what is that idea? Like, people, are you saying that people think that they're, like, are you saying that people only use the term plus size when they're thinking of, like, a transition period?
Yeah.
Instead of a lifestyle?
Yeah. And if people look at specifically plus size as a transition period, just like you said, that it shouldn't be permanent, and that this is something that you should, it's basically saying you should be ashamed of yourself that you are in this position, and you need to change it, and you shouldn't feel good about yourself because you should change it. That's the general gist of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, diet culture is huge.
I know, and it's so fucked up because it's like, there's so many things wrong with it. Like, first of all, like, you can be healthy and be plus sized. I don't understand, like, why people don't think that that's possible. I get really frustrated when individuals think that you have to be a certain size to be healthy. And I think BMI is the biggest bullshit I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Oh my god.
And it's just kind of one of those things where you can be completely, I think general health is important, like eating fruits and vegetables and eating vitamins and getting 8 hours of rest a night and moving your body every day, period. Those are like the principles of positive physical health. But there's no weight associated with that.
No.
There's no size genes associated with that lifestyle that I would personally promote. And it's frustrating because I feel like it's all part of society's game that they want to sell you products in a consumerist capitalist society for you to change yourself. When in reality, the spiritual part of me knows and would say this, you should do a blog post about this. Our bodies are just meat suits for our consciousness. Like, at the end of the day, whatever I choose to accomplish in this lifetime is not going to be remembered by my body type.
Bodies are meat suits. Meat suits.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger, okay? That's just what I think.
But I love that so much.
Because it's true. Like, I know you're not. I just like, we are literally conditioned by society that there's something that we need to change all the time. But in reality, we don't need to change. Like, we are us for a reason, and there are certain things about ourselves that we might not like that might be toxic behaviors, but we're never going to move out of those toxic behaviors if we don't love ourselves. And the only way to love ourselves is to start with the simple concepts that we are enough as we are, and there's no need to hate ourselves. Like, why am I hating myself because I'm not, you know, a size 2 and my hair isn't blonde down to my ankles and I don't have 25,000 followers on Instagram. First of all, that's like a comparative statement that's suggesting that my light isn't as bright as somebody else's. When in reality, everybody's light is so bright and so unique and so different. And also, too, like, remember the things that we see on social media are just the things that people want you to see.
Yes.
Like, that standard that you might want to bring yourself to that you're seeing on Instagram of, like, that social media influencer, she or he is only sharing with you, like, 20% of their actual life.
Oh, totally.
And they probably hate themselves, too.
Yeah. There's a very small percentage of people that actually love themselves.
What are some things that we can do to love ourselves?
One thing I love to talk about that I probably did like 10 years ago, honestly. And 10 years ago, I thought I was like the fattest, ugliest person. I was so hard on myself. And looking back, which is another thing I've been doing too, is have you ever compared you now in pictures to like 10 plus years ago and you're like, oh my God, you start comparing yourself to yourself.
Yes, but you yourself 10 years ago didn't like yourself.
Yes.
Yes, oh my God, I had that when I was going through recovery from my eating disorder. So basically, I only was like, I'm actually now only 5 pounds more than I was at my lowest. It's just my body is different and I feel it. But even those 5 pounds more that I have on my frame now, sometimes I look at old photos and I think, wow, I looked so good before. You know, like I looked so good before. I had this and this going. But in that moment that I took those photos, I hated myself. I cried on my 16th birthday because I didn't want to eat the cake that my parents bought me for my sweet 16. Like, yeah, but it's like, but I look at the photos from my sweet 16 and I think, wow, I used to be so defined and so toned, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we're never actually happy with ourselves.
And it's, you know what it is? It's being happy with yourself. That's my main thing. And I started that 10 years ago. I took a Post-it notepad and wrote down, I think I wrote, I love you on it. Or actually, no, I wrote, you are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I put it on my mirror. And every day for a whole month, I said to myself, just go stand in front of the mirror, take a couple minutes out of the day, and just look at the note and look at yourself in the mirror and say, you are beautiful. I did it for a whole month, and it honestly really helped. It was the start. It wasn't the be-all, end-all.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great start to just look at myself, force myself to look myself in the eyes and say, you are a beautiful human. You are worthy of love from yourself and others. And you are going to do great things. And just to have that affirmation out vocally to hear for myself.
That's so beautiful. I want to ask you a question about your relationship. So you're in like a, you publicly have written about and showed pictures of your long-term partner, Daniel. Do you think that, or how do you think that this journey of self-love that you went on brought you your partner?
So a big thing that,
I remember when you first met, it was so cute.
Oh yes.
You called me before your first date.
He's so cute, and it's funny because he'll bring it up now where when we first started dating, we met on Tinder and we were talking on Tinder for probably like, I don't know, like 2-3 weeks, and he's like, you know, I want to meet you, I want to take you out. I'm like, oh, okay. I have a lot of health issues. So it kind of messes me up in a way, so he asked me to go out with him 5 or 6 times, and before that 6th time I said no to him every time. And I remember, like, it was like 3rd or 4th time, and I'm sitting there and I had a bout of vertigo, and I was like, Mom, he's gonna think I really don't want to see him, or that I'm just some shady person, and I'm really not. And I don't know what possessed him. I don't know if this was the universe telling him or something, but he was like, let me just hold out and see what happens. And it's turned out to be this great relationship. And one big thing that we talk about is just society in general say, you know, if you don't love yourself, how are you supposed to love another person? Because we are so hard on ourselves. We live with ourselves every day. Yes, I live with Daniel now, but I don't see him 24/7. And to love someone else is so powerful. And I'm just so happy loving him.
I think this is radical, but I think you should love yourself, right? Like, I hope that Daniel finds peace, and I hope that he begins to love himself. But I don't think that you need to love yourself 100% to be in a relationship. I think you need to be able to separate your own issues and the things that you're working with on your journey to self-love from the relationship, and not look for that love from the relationship. So there are things I don't love about myself right now, but I'm in a relationship and I think that I deserve that relationship and I think I should be in it. But what I have to do is, if I know that there's something that I want to work on for myself, is not my partner's job to fix, and it's not going to be filled by his love and his compassion and his kindness. It's going to be filled by my own, from my own towards myself.
Yes, I completely agree.
But I think I see why people say that you have to love yourself for being in a relationship, because they're talking to the person that has really toxic behaviors, that has codependent behaviors and codependent tendencies, and that is looking for validation outside of themselves. But if you don't love yourself, but you're not looking for validation outside of yourself, you're looking for validation within yourself, you're doing the work, I think it's fine.
I agree, totally. Like, personally for me, a big thing that I'm not a fan of is my stomach. I'm just like, oh my god, it's terrible. And for Daniel, it's probably his favorite feature of mine.
That is so sweet.
And no, I don't rely on him there, but it's something that I'm personally working on. He knows I'm working on it. So when I'm getting dressed in the morning or just holding him at night, he will really just try to make it a positive relationship for me. And just, he's trying to help me work on myself as much as I can.
And that's beautiful. Like, we should uplift our partners. We should help our partners feel more confident. And I think that there's a real strength and vulnerability there, where like, when you open up to your partner about the things you're insecure about, like, they get to see more of who you are and what makes you tick. And I do think that it's beautiful when they step in, and it's beautiful when they show love towards that part of yourself you don't love so much. I just think that you can't rely on that, but you know that, and that's why you're in such a good relationship.
Definitely.
So there are a few things I want to ask you, but before I even ask you them, I want to bring up the fact that I think that plus size women get specific questions more than others because they're plus size. And I think it's really frustrating. Like, I want to say that, because I'm not plus size, but I'm not skinny. You know, like, I would say I'm like a, I don't know. I think I feel plus size in my community. That's what I would say, because of the community of yoga instructors. I'm like the plus size yoga instructor, even though I'm not plus size, which is an interesting story for another time. But I think that there are questions that I want to ask you, but I almost don't want to ask them, because it's like, why is the conversation with plus size women always about the fact that they're plus size?
You know, personally for me, my identity, I identify as fat, I identify as plus size. You know, these are just two of the many things that define me. And that's for me personally. I don't take those definitions from other people. So when I get sort of questions like, I'm not exactly sure what kind of questions you're talking about.
All right. So some of my questions are going to be, one of them was going to be, how did you find peace with yourself at your size?
Okay.
And so that's, yeah,
that's a big thing where, I follow a lot of plus size Instagrammers and I've tried to surround myself with them instead of, you know, people trying to sell me flat tummy tea and,
yeah,
and
I actually things try to do that too.
Causing harm. and a lot of the questions that they'll get is, how do you love yourself being so fat, basically? That's what it is. And
crazy. I love that, like, I don't love this, but in our culture, like, being fat is literally worse than, like, anything else in people's yes. eyes.
And fat has become a big F word. It's worse than the F word.
Yeah.
And for me, when I see these questions, I'm not looking at it like, not like a plus size stereotype, but it's people looking at plus size women, I'll say women specifically, and wondering, oh my God, society is saying they're fat. Fat is not okay. How are they okay with themselves if society says that fat is not okay?
You could use that analogy for anything. And like, that's, I love that. Something I preach is, if you see everybody doing something one way, you should just completely go the other way. Like,
yeah.
Do be the other person. Like,
yes.
because if what you're doing isn't blatantly offensive to somebody else and doesn't hurt somebody else and their well-being by being a certain body type, having sex with a certain person, right? Or wearing certain clothes or whatever it is about yourself that one person might know and be insecure about showing to the world, like, people, they shouldn't worry about that.
Exactly. It's a lot of the plus size issues that people have with plus size people. Now I'm saying it weird.
I know, now we're saying it, but it's like, but we're using it. I think it's okay to use these things when we're empowering the term.
Yes. But a lot of people think, I don't even know what we're talking about now. I just totally lost my train of thought.
It's okay. Well, because, like, my next question was going to be, like, how has it been, like, dating plus size? But, like, that's bullshit to me. Like, why would it be different?
Honestly, though, it's, speaking from a personal perspective, it's been scary.
Do you feel like it's different than for people who aren't plus size to date?
Oh, yes. And I think that also comes into play with, you know, when you see people posting pictures, it's what they want you to see.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I made a Tinder profile, when I started going to Adelphi, you know, I'm not gonna put my whole body out there. I'm gonna do the pictures that I like, or, you know, whatever. And I remember one of my first dates I went on, he was a very nice guy, he was Russian, which was kind of like interesting to me.
Why?
I don't know, like, I just was like, I wasn't expecting to meet this Russian guy. And
okay.
Yeah. And we went to this place to have, like, tea and whatever, and it was fine.
Did you go to Witch's Brew?
Yes.
How did I know that? That's crazy.
I think I might have told you the story before.
No, I just missed Witch's Brew. That's so weird that I thought about that. Sorry, continue.
No, you're fine.
That place is bomb.
And I remember he was dropping me off back at my dorm, and on the way back, he was like, oh, we should see, like, each other again. I'm like, okay, you know, Halloween is coming up. Why don't we, like, do something then? He's like, okay. And I, you know, he dropped me off. You know, we didn't have any sort of physical interaction. So it wasn't a sign for me that, oh, this wasn't going to happen. I was just like, all right, we'll see what happens. And about a week later, I reached out to him because he didn't really talk to me. And I was like, hey, what's up? You know, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm just at the gym. Nothing that you would really be doing. And I was like, what are you talking about? And kind of just like, not like, I was just taking it like the funny route. Not like, okay, this person has a fat phobia. But he was like, well, it's just something that I can never see you doing because you're not exactly thin.
And he said those exact words.
Yes.
Wow.
And honestly, I haven't had that in a, like a sort of interaction that late through anything else. I can only attribute it to him being Russian. but that was probably one of the first interactions I had in the dating world where I was like, okay, this is where we're going. And it didn't make me self-conscious. It just made me realize I need to get rid of all the guys that aren't going to accept me and just push right through to the guys that want that serious relationship like I do and just plunge forward. And sure, like for me, if I'm swiping on Tinder, like I remember I wouldn't swipe right on a lot of smaller guys.
That's interesting though. Why is that? You felt like they just wouldn't want to date somebody like,
yeah, like I didn't want to date someone who was smaller than me. I felt like if I was trying to have sex with them or just trying to like be with them, I feel like I would crush them or I would...
You would not have crushed them. That is not a thing.
I feel like I would have just... It would have been too difficult for me. Like, I would have been like, oh, I want to borrow your sweatshirt and I don't fit into it or something. But I kind of got over that and just kind of broadened it to, you know, whatever guy is going to be nice and have a decent conversation with me and shared interests and stuff, then, yeah, I'll go on a date with you and see how it goes.
You know, I used to have that fear too, actually. Like, when I was a little heavier, but even then, like, I was going to say that guys actually wear their clothes really big. So, like, I don't know. I feel like we all have that fear as women, though, actually, like, deep down. Because society tells us that, like, we have to be smaller than our partner.
Yes, we have to be shorter than our partners and smaller. And that's a big... Sorry, that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many horror stories with Tinder, my God.
I know. Well, thanks for sharing that, though. Like, I'm honestly shocked at, like, his blatant answer. But I just think, to me, I just think it's so odd. I think it's so odd how frequently people make comments about women's bodies.
It's just odd to me as well, because it's not your body. It shouldn't have to do anything with you. You're living your life. You're doing your thing. Let that other person do their thing.
Mm-hmm. And even...
And that can apply to anything.
Yeah. So, what do you think that... Like... Where do you think the body positivity movement is headed?
You know, I'm constantly, whenever I'm trying to write a new blog post, I kind of look at the news under plus size, and I do like the fashion part of it, but for me, as someone who's trying to be financially conscious, I try to write more about, not progressive, but just, like, more lifestyle things, so just life in general, where I'm traveling, and one series that I do is plus size travel and being like, okay, I'm going to Disney World. I fit on all these rides. Maybe this ride I had to do something different, or I went on a plane and this is how a seatbelt extender situation worked out or whatever. But when I'll look at different topics that are in the news, one big thing that I just saw that I'm not going to write about it because I don't want to feed into the negativity, but Bill Maher, is that how you say his name? I think Bill Maher, he went on his talk show and said, I don't understand why we are removing basically bullying plus size people into working out and not being fed. I think we need to bully them more. And I'm butchering up exactly what he said, but I just read it and I was like, okay, and just kind of was like, do you think this is fading away? Because it's obviously not.
Well, I just don't understand, like, why... Not why it matters, but, like, why it matters. Like, you know, I...
It's just, that's, you know, upsetting. We're not at the right place right now where everyone is accepting and everyone is, you know... We're very selfish people as humanity in general. And we look at ourselves, but we also love to compare ourselves to other people, whether that be your body, your weight, your height, your income, you know, your house, where you live, wherever, whatever. And that comparison is something that we're looking at something to think, okay, what am I better at than this person, but what am I worse at, and what can I pick on that person to make me feel better?
Yeah. I think so too, and I think it also stems from an obsession with our outward appearance.
Yes.
And status. And yeah. I don't know. But thanks for sharing that. I mean, that's just ridiculous to me.
And one big thing that I can't totally predict what the next kind of topic or where the body positivity movement is going, but I'm really hoping that it's more about plus size men. Because for me, I know I have struggled for so long to find a store that I could walk into and buy anything I wanted in my size and be happy in just a store. And I found that it took me quite a while, but for my boyfriend Daniel, that's something that he hasn't totally found yet. And I don't blame him either. And I've wanted to write about it, but honestly, I can't find much. Like,
it becomes like the problem with the fact that this is an entirely neglected community.
Yes.
And I think I think it shows that there just needs to be more inclusivity everywhere.
Yes.
In every aspect. Like, the human body does not look one specific way.
Exactly. Every one of us is unique. We all have our own things going on. We all have our own bodies and our own curvaceous imperfections.
Love it! Love it!
But it's just, at the end of the day, we're all just trying to do our best and to get by, basically. Or, you know, get our basic needs and to try to enjoy anything that we really can. But specifically for the plus size men that I'm talking about, I think it comes back again to society and having that shame and being like, oh wow, just another fat guy. Like, yeah. This is something that's a temporary thing for you, so why should we cater to you? We're not going to be able to profit off of this, so we're just going to keep making the extra small to double XL, and you're just going to have to call it a day.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's also dumb. It's also a dumb business model.
It really is. And, you know, like, it's just, when there's a need for something, obviously something will be made for that. But I'm just hoping that this is where the movement is going. And I know there's a lot of, like, feminazi men-hating crap out there right now. And I totally understand it, like, being a woman and seeing just life through my eyes and everything like that, but just seeing the struggle with my boyfriend specifically of going out and just trying to buy a hat that fits his head was a struggle. And I hope that just becomes easier.
I hope so too. All right, so, love, just to kind of wrap up our conversation here, What are five strengths or five unique gifts you feel like your size has granted you this lifetime?
Ooh.
And why?
Five gifts.
So it can be adjectives, it can be verbs, it can be nouns, like life, it can be like strength, it can be like whatever.
I think, I don't know if I can give you five.
Oh, you better. Girl, dig deep. love yourself.
But, yeah, honestly, being plus size has forced me to love myself. Where, you know, we live in a world where plus size is not okay from a majority of people. So I have to find that love within. I can't take that from other people. I can't turn on a TV and see a plus-size woman as a lead in a TV show or a movie where they're actually doing something productive instead of being made fun of and just being a villain on a show because of their size or whatever else. I have to look at myself within and realize I am a beautiful woman.
Beautiful.
I can do whatever I want and I'm going to accomplish big things and live my life how I want to.
That's beautiful.
That's basically the biggest gift of being plus size for me. That's, you know, this is my life. If anything, being plus size has brought me closer with people. I speak to just, you know, I don't have all friends that are plus size. I don't have all friends that are you know, smaller than me or whatever. But it's that shared kind of ideas and conversation that people just realize everyone is struggling and we need to just do our best and try to be positive in everyone's life.
That's beautiful. Wow. Before I ask my last question, is there anything else you think listeners should know about being body positive, being plus size? We'll do more podcasts in the future. I think we have a lot more we can talk about, but just for today,
oh, yes,
for the sake of time.
I guess my biggest thing is that basically, you know, just like I said, everyone's trying to do their own thing and trying to do their best. And it just live your life. Don't worry about other people. And try to uplift people when you can.
I love that. Beautiful. Okay, one last question. Living ultravioletly means living without boundaries, limitations, or barriers. And it basically means you living your best life, the life that makes you happy, the doing the things that you love, and knowing that you are so beautiful, so unique, and so powerful, just as you are. What does living ultravioletly mean to you?
It's living my truth, living my life as I see fit, and trying to feed my body what it needs, and feed my mind what it needs. And I really hope to explore more ultraviolet thoughts with you, Jess.
Yay! Cool.
Yes.
Okay, so thank you all for listening to Steph and I. You can follow Steph on Instagram. Her username is @StephSteph66. That's STEPH66. And you can also follow her blog, curvaceousimperfections.com. She talks about body positivity. She shares recipes. She talks about traveling while plus size. And she also...